Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at and that illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that'll determine what the future will bring. And I need to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views. And, well, for the next hour, they're going to be the views of Barry Shamish, who's an Israeli citizen, Israeli patriot, investigative reporter for many years, forced to come to the United States because of threats against his life. And but, of course, he then keeps us up to date on what's going on in the Near East and the Middle East and the history of Israel. But you go right ahead, Barry. What are we going to talk about this evening?
Did you get my article?
I did, but I'll have to admit I didn't read it. I pulled it down, and then I got besieged with a whole flock of things. But I started to read it, and you're going to have to tell us about it.
No, I'm going to wait till you read it.
All right, fine. Then you go right ahead.
Oh, there's so much that is going on, and I'll just do the basic bland news, except it's not so bland. On Sunday, the Israeli government launched a program, they call it Turning Point 4. On Wednesday, all the air, all the sirens go off in Israel throughout the country, and we begin a five-day nationwide drill. The whole country for 5 days, all right? If you can imagine all of America going through a five-day drill.
Now, is this basically a biological, chemical warfare drill, an air missile attack, or what?
I'll describe it basic. I'll do the basic description now. It will simulate a massive, by the way, this is a quote. It will simulate a massive Arab and Iranian missile assault against Israel. Now, here's some more fun stuff if you're in Israel these days. What you get to do, the scenario is a war. Hezbollah and Israel have been fighting for 2 weeks. When Syria decides to back Hezbollah by launching 200 ballistic missiles, some carrying chemical warheads at the greater Tel Aviv area. This is the scenario that the country is going through starting on Wednesday. Now, what do the people do? Well, 200 ballistic missiles with some of them filled with gas, and they're doing, it's sort of like a play. It's not the real thing. This is what we can expect. Well, much of the drill is, of course, the army and the home front command and so forth, and citizens, all citizens, when they hear the siren, are asked to locate the nearest bomb shelter, like anyone's going to do that. You know, they're not in school, it's not a fire drill. You hear the siren, you don't go running for the nearest bomb shelter. But that's what they're asked to do. But it gets even weirder. If you ask me, it's just weird. Because people won't cooperate with what the army wants them to do. But the drill also includes a scenario in which at least 200,000 residents of central Israel, that's the part being bombed by Syrian chemical ballistic missiles, flee south to the Negev, and they need to be absorbed in the cities of Beersheba and Eilat. Now, how they're going to simulate a thing like that, I don't know, actually. Unless they get 200,000 citizens to run for the Negev, I don't know how they're going to simulate a thing like that. Nonetheless, that's what's happening starting Wednesday at 11 o'clock in the morning. Israel will launch the five-day nationwide drill called Turning Point 4.
All right, hold that thought. We'll be right back. Okay, but go right ahead, Barry. But basically, of course, the thing is, are the Israeli citizens going to participate? Are they going to quit their jobs? They're going to, I said, they all will start racing toward the Negev. Suddenly, you'd have so much congestion on the highways, why you wouldn't be able to move.
It sounds like a good excuse to quit work. Go down to Eilat. You know, right. We're being bombarded with ballistic missiles. But first, they're going to run from their offices and find the nearest shelter. Well, that's what the plan is. I doubt the entire population are going to agree to this plan. But nonetheless, a four-day drill is very, very revealing and serious.
Well, of course, the interesting for our listeners out there, Eilat, of course, is down on the Red Sea, isn't it? Isn't it?
Yep.
So basically, they're going to have to go a long, long way down the Negev Desert down to Eilat, which, of course, is the southernmost port of Israel. Go ahead.
I don't even know how they're going to do that. All right? I mean, it's beyond my imagination to believe they've convinced 200,000 people. You know, they might have. You know, you can actually get 200,000 people, I guess, from the Tel Aviv area, of course, central Israel. I suppose you can get 200,000 people to get in their cars for this drill. It's hard to imagine, I must tell you that.
But what are you going to do about the congestion on the highways? And what are you going to do when you have 200,000 additional people down there at Eilat?
Well,
that's going to fill up all the motels down there, isn't it?
Well, they won't be in hotels. They'll be refugees. Something has got to be ready for them, some sort of, well, camps, I guess. Obviously, they're not going to stay in hotels, not 200,000 people in one day. You know what? It is very difficult to imagine this drill working to order. But that's what is happening in Israel starting in 2 days from now. That's what they're planning. And this, by the way, is a very, very serious, well, I wouldn't call it change of heart, but it looks like they're really preparing for 200 Syrian missiles. And quite frankly, I think they're underestimating the scale.
Well, I think you're absolutely right. But how do the people over in Israel feel? I know you're in contact with them. I mean, what do they think about all of this?
Well, you can't run around being scared all the time. Until it hits, this is just part of life. How do they feel about it? Deep in their heart of hearts, they know something bad is coming up. But you don't show it.
I know well, because I think we all know something very bad is coming up. We'll be right back. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and Barry is certainly bringing us up to date with this plan that they have. At 2 days from now, they're going to start this Israeli drill. And, of course, they are asking 200,000 people to evacuate to the southern part of Israel, down by Eilat, but down by the Red Sea, and that's a long way. What is that, about 200 miles, 300 miles? How far is that?
No, the Negev, from Beersheba to Eilat. I suppose they could find a palm tree somewhere and put up a tent. I don't even know what the plan is.
Right.
That has not been publicized. But again, I'm going to repeat, did they really find 200,000 people to get in their cars and escape Tel Aviv? It's very, very difficult to imagine. But that's what this says they're planning.
Well, we live in a world gone mad, and there are only a few of us sane, and everybody thinks we're crazy. You go right ahead, Barry.
Well, if this is only stage one of what is certainly a region preparing for a war to end all wars, it looks like. Now, Egypt, again, Egypt just ended a very large-scale military maneuver in the Sinai Peninsula. Now, this is, I'll explain why it's serious when I get to the end of this. It was a week-long maneuver, which, by the way, costs an army a fortune. You don't just do week-long maneuvers, including, and here's a quote, warplanes, helicopters, armored units, special forces, paratroopers. They were all in this week-long exercise.
American tax dollars at work. Go right ahead. Because we give, I don't know how many billion dollars to Egypt every year preparing for their military strike against Israel. But, of course, we're not supposed to know that. We're supposed to think that's how we're buying peace. You can't buy peace, but go right ahead.
Well, you should be glad your money is being used.
Right. at least it'll be gone. They won't be able to use it against Israel when the real war comes. Go ahead.
That's the real problem. Israel signed a peace treaty with Egypt at Camp David in 1979, under which Egypt agreed not to deploy army units in the Sinai. Camp David has been abrogated. I mean, this is not allowed.
Well, but they're doing it anyway, and what is Mr. Obama going to do about it? I suspect absolutely nothing.
Well, I doubt he's even heard. Look, in Israel, they heard about it. You got a large-scale maneuver next to your border. You've heard about it. But it gets even broader and worse. With Egypt, now look, I'll just again quote what really worries me. They planned a simulation of an offensive thrust deep into enemy territory. What enemy is on the Sinai except for Israel? I assume you're following this.
Well, I am, but I'm thinking, was they talking possibly about simulating an attack against Lebanon or against...
Don't be silly. From the Sinai, you'd have to march all the way through Israel to get...
Well, I know you would, but I mean, that's illogical, unless, of course, they're talking about Egypt or Jordan are the only two countries you can hit down there.
No, only Israel. From the Sinai, you can only hit Israel. To get to Jordan, you've got to swim.
All right, go ahead.
In other words, Egypt just did a week-long major military maneuver against Israel. There's no other... That's what they did. And, again, supposedly Egypt and Israel are at peace, and this isn't allowed. But it gets worse, because Fatah, the PLO, have now announced that they, too, will be joining the armed struggle, which, as near as I can figure so far, is Syria, Egypt, and Hezbollah so far. It gets worse when you throw in Hamas, but Fatah, the PLO, announced that they will be joining the armed struggle if the U.S.-sponsored proximity talks fail.
But Barry, we've been arming and we've been training Fatah. I mean, why would we be arming and put all those millions of dollars into training and arming the people of Fatah if they're going to attack Israel? That doesn't make any sense. Or maybe that's what was always intended for. The best enemy money could buy.
Well, Israel, it's getting worse and worse and worse. You know, this proximity talks, which again, you know, before the peace was signed, remember the PLO and Israel signed at Camp David a peace accord? Before then, you had proximity talks. After that, you had face-to-face talks. That was the beauty of peace, supposedly. We've now gone backwards. A proximity talk means that George Mitchell gets in a car and goes to the King David Hotel and has some talks with Israelis, gets in the car and drives to Ramallah and has talks with Abbas and the PLO, then gets in the car and back to Israel. That was how many years ago? 12, 13 years ago that supposedly ended, and you no longer had proximity talks. You spoke face-to-face to each other. Well, we spoke about this last week, the Mediterranean Union and the conference in Barcelona that was supposed to be coming up in June 7th. Well, they have delayed it until November to let the proximity talks continue. So what is this Mediterranean Union if they delay their entire conference over the proximity talks? It exists for one reason only, and that is to pressure Israel into giving up, well, they wanted an announcement that Israel would give up the ship, and the Israel has not agreed to give up the ships. That's why there's proximity talks, and the Mediterranean Union conference in Barcelona for June the 7th has been delayed until the end of the proximity talks in November. That may not seem significant to you. To me, it is hugely significant. The squeeze on Israel now is not just the so-called proximity talks. You've got Egypt, you've got Israel, first of all, doing a very complicated four-day fire drill involving a couple hundred thousand people, if I'm reading this right. You've got Egypt in the Sinai, which they're not supposed to be in the Sinai with a major arms force, and they're planning a thrust deep into enemy territory. That's the code word for Israel. And then the PLO says if the proximity talks don't work, well, they're going to join the armed struggle. What armed struggle? The only armed struggle is Hamas dropping missiles, maybe. There is no armed struggle. Well, I think, well, what it comes down to is very straightforward. If Israel doesn't play ball, it's got to deal with everybody against it. And you're talking the entire Egyptian army, the Syrians. Well, they're only launching 200 ballistic missiles when they have another 40,000 they can get rid of if they want to. It's a very, the pressure on Israel is just astounding. Now, I don't remember anything like this. My goodness, Six-Day War. You had this kind of a build-up of the Six-Day War. That's the last time I can recall when everybody was going for Israel. But in the Six-Day War, they didn't have missiles. The danger is the worst Israel has ever faced, ever.
Well, I agree with you, and I'm very, very concerned about that this is going to be coming up here in the next month or so, and I don't think that the average American has any idea what's going on or the implications of this, especially when suddenly Turkey seems to have aligned itself with Iran today, only within the last couple of months, a dramatic change and shift of the power there, power base in the Near East.
Oh, that's a complicated story. Brazil got thrown in there. Somehow or another, Brazil is negotiating between Iran and the Turks. That is a very complicated story, but certainly Israel has no ally in Turkey. That is for darn sure.
And this is really something that really is very, very recent. So the whole, everything seems to be shifting against Israel. She stands literally alone in the Near East with nobody she can depend upon.
Well, you can thank the peace process for that.
Yeah, well, Sydney, you don't have to tell me that. I'm very, very concerned about it. And Sydney, I really feel what worst thing we could have possibly done was to have given all that money to Egypt so they could build up their military for the coming war with Israel. I really feel that this is what's coming down the line. What are your thoughts?
What am I going to do? Disagree with you?
No, you could disagree. Listen, you've never hesitated to disagree with me.
Well, that's what I mean.
I love to have you. Sometimes I ask provocative questions so that you will disagree with me.
No, I'm not going to disagree with you.
All right, fine. Go ahead.
I view it in the same light.
Okay, but if you're out there in the listening audience, you have a question for Barry. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295, because we are entering a very, very difficult period. Most Americans are, of course, really more concerned about Tiger Woods. You know, is he going to get back together with his wife?
No, he's getting a divorce.
He's getting a divorce.
Yes.
Well, of course, you know, all these things are out there. Sydney, the just fired. fired the coach of the basketball team that LeBron James plays for, and all sorts of important things like that. But here's something that's going to affect our only ally in the Near East. And anyway, we're going to be back in just a moment with Barry Shamish. As we begin to develop the things that are happening over there, can you imagine a five-day exercise where they're trying to get 200,000 people from Tel Aviv to go down to Eilat to some sort of refugee camps? What madness is this? Go ahead, Barry.
Well, here's another...
Gold and silver is tremendously undervalued. Global demand vastly exceeds mine supply by more than 60% annually. There is little in the financial world more certain than a coming explosion in the prices of gold and silver. The U.S. dollar continues to lose value and respect as the world's reserve currency. Our nation faces challenges on many fronts, and a day doesn't pass without another economist bringing forth warnings of impending economic calamity. There has never been a better time than right now to acquire physical gold and silver. Discount Gold and Silver Trading was founded on the principles of truth and honesty. We believe in providing a quality product, quality service, and most importantly, competitive pricing. We provide all forms of precious metals, including American gold, silver, platinum, and rare investment and circulated coins. Silver bars, rounds, and 90% silver bags are on hand for the silver investor. Gold self-directed IRAs are available. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. Toll free, that's 1-800-375-4188.
Most Americans are iodine deficient today because they stopped adding iodine to our milk and to our flour, and only about half of the salt that's consumed in the United States today contains iodine. So Radio Liberty has produced a four tape or a four CD set that discusses the health benefits of iodine. We also offer iodorol. It contains 12.5 milligrams of iodine per tablet. And we also offer potassium iodide tablets, a little protection of thyroid gland in case there's a nuclear attack. So if you'd like to order these products or obtain additional information, why don't you call 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. Or go to our website at radioliberty.com. That's radioliberty.com. Once again, our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927.
Did you know that there's an increasing amount of scientific data which says that fluoride in drinking water is dangerous? Are you aware that your drinking water may in fact contain many unhealthy substances, even things which can cause sickness or disease? If you'd like information on how to remove these contaminants, find out about the Verkey water filter. You can call 800-544-8927 for complete information. There is a way to return to having pure, safe drinking water. The Verkey water filter. Call 800-544-8927 for information about a product that could protect you and your family from waterborne disease. The number to call is 800-544-8927. Call today.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us, 866-730-9796.
Weapons and apparently...
I wouldn't call this an exchange.
Oh, well, Israel was going to help South Africa get nuclear weapons. Is that right?
Israel will supply South Africa.
All right, fine. Okay, go ahead.
In exchange, South Africa will give them the uranium but Israel had the technology and South Africa didn't. And then South Africa did explode a nuclear bomb in 1978. The point is that every time Paris opens his mouth, it's got to be a lie. I mean, every single time. So Israel is going to, somebody is going to follow up the lie, and Paris is going to be exposed. The president of Israel most certainly had this meeting, and it's not even shocking that he had this meeting. The shocking part is the lie. Not a denial, an outright lie. There were other ways to deny it without saying we never had this meeting and we never signed anything, and they did. The author was granted the minutes of the meeting. Just don't lie. You know, it takes the Paris to get out of every bad thing he's ever done by lying. And that's one of the reasons that Israel is in such a mess. This liar brought us the peace of the Middle East. And Israel is going, and I'm saying this seriously now, Israel is really, really facing extermination. The odds right now, you know, I'm going to tell a little story, because this is also very difficult for me to talk about. But yesterday, I've got a webmaster who happens to be a Messianic Christian. And he came over with the family, with his brother and his father. And I'm explaining that Israel is facing outright, complete destruction. And the father starts saying that's impossible, because the prophecies claim that 144,000 Jews will survive the war. And, you know, I looked at him and I said, that is just great. So 5.5 million Jews are killed. And 144,000 survived. I said, you know, some wars aren't worth winning. Now, I recall, and I brought this up with him, but I recall an incident where I witnessed, six fellow soldiers getting killed in Lebanon. There was a valley, a wadi. We were on one side, and a tank unit was on the other. An RPG went to one of the tanks, and it was on fire, and then we watched it as the ammunition within exploded one after another after another. The other tanks had no choice but to just pass it by, and we just watched in stunned silence, knowing that six of our fellow soldiers were dead inside that tank. And I turned to the father and I said, you don't know what you're talking about. You don't know what it is to watch your people get killed. I said, 144,000, big deal. If that's winning the war, we should just take off and get out of there. And it's just a concept people don't understand. That is no victory.
You know, I certainly couldn't disagree with you at all. Very certainly, as an evangelical Christian, I believe that God will preserve Israel through what is coming up. There may come a time, however, when things will be far worse than they are. We're going to know very, very soon, and certainly we'll just have to wait and watch and see and pray for the safety of the people there.
I don't know how much worse you're talking about. But the fact of the matter is the danger against Israel, I don't believe there's defense. And I shot missiles. This is what I did for 13 years of my life, was shoot missiles.
Well, Barry, this is really very, very interesting, because I personally believe that the Nautilus system is up and working, and that this is what Israel is depending on. I could certainly be wrong. We're going to find out, and I hope and pray that I'm right and you're wrong, but you could be right and I could be wrong. But I do believe that God does have a plan for Israel. I don't know what it is, and maybe he's going to bring his judgment on Israel as he has in the past. Maybe he's going to bring a judgment on America. But the one consolation I have is that I know that God does rule in the affairs of men. And even though sometimes we don't understand what's going on, why we can see his influence eventually. We'll be back in just a moment with Barry Shamus. Well, this is Dr. Stan and Barry. I understand your fear and your frustration, and, well, we're just going to have to wait and see. Anyway, go right ahead, because I understand how you would feel when somebody says, oh, you know, we're at 144,000 are going to survive, and you're suggesting, yeah, but 5.5 million are going to die, and that's a pretty horrible thing. No, I don't think most people really do understand the horror of war. I've never been through it, but I've read enough about it to know that suddenly when General Sherman said war is hell, there's no way you can certainly make it any different. Well, I think he was absolutely right, and we're talking about a major war coming to your land, and I fear to our land as well, but go right ahead.
Well, I'm a little arrogant about this. If you haven't seen war, and you're talking about concepts like victory, and you don't know what you're saying. A lot of people will die for this victory, and it's not such a victory if you're the parents of one of those soldiers who died, and I'll have two kids in the army then, and it's, believe me, Israel is, well, even if it wins, it's going to lose. And that's what happened during the Yom Kippur War, by the way. Israel lost 3,000 men in the first 2 days of the war. That was no victory. But needless to say, don't hit me ever with this 144,000 nonsense. No Jew believes that all but 144,000 are going to survive or everyone would emigrate. Needless to say, we can talk about milder things than war, I suppose. And one of them is the appalling. Now, it's amazing what you're going to hear, because it just isn't known by anybody. But the U.S. consulate in Jerusalem has not just been behaving badly towards Israelis. I've spoken about this previously. Let's see, Saturday night, it was a couple of days ago, a young Israeli man was brutally beaten in downtown Jerusalem. His name was Ishai, by the way. And the wounds were, he was punched in the face, kicked, leaving him with multiple head and body injuries. Taken to a nearby hospital. This was done by the staff of the U.S. consulate in Jerusalem.
Well, that thought. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and certainly I guess it's Barry Shamus. Before we go on, Barry, I want you to go ahead and give out your website, tell people how they can get your books, how they can get your DVDs, how they can get to your PayPal button.
Sure. Let's see. The books. Again, you order them from www.lulu, that's lulu.com, to download them onto your computer. Costs $5. For $5, you get a lot more than what I'm saying tonight. To order them and send home, well, that's a little more expensive, but $5, that's all it is for every book. That's lulu.com. I forgot to add, to get to the books, you'll see a little search box. You double-click books, and you spell my name. That's Chamish. That's Shamish. Now, as for the PayPal button, it's on my website. The website is, BarryChamish.com. Simple as that. If you feel like donating to me, it won't be a mere donation. I'll make sure if you leave your address, you'll get a very nice little gift from me. out of the goodness of my heart and gratitude towards you, you'll get a nice package in the mail. And if you want to invite me to speak, or get my DVDs, which are not sold by Lulu, just phone me, 904-315-8079. That's 904-315-8079. There, it's done.
All right, and if you'd like to get Barry to come to talk to your group or your church, why, that's the number. Your synagogue, that's the number you'd call. Okay, well, let's get back. You were telling us, Sydney, about something just before I so rudely interrupted you.
The perpetrators of this beating, well, what do you know? They are the staff of the American consulate in Jerusalem.
Now, why would the staff of the American consulate in Jerusalem have beaten and kicked and severely injured some young Israeli? Was this in Jerusalem or Tel Aviv?
At Jerusalem.
Okay, go ahead.
People don't understand. You think you've got a fair-minded staff. You've got a staff that hates Israel. And I told you about other incidents. U.S. consulate driver doesn't stop at an Israeli roadblock, tries to run over the soldier, attempted rape, a whole list of horrible stuff, all against Israelis, all coming out of the U.S. consulate. Those who beat up the Israeli were captured that night. They were found at a nearby bar. They were arrested and released immediately afterwards because they had diplomatic immunity. And people don't understand. It's the relations between Israel and the United States. If you think they're friendly, you don't know the core hatred of the U.S. Embassy staff in Jerusalem's capital are viciously hateful of Israelis. Well, I'm sure you would think that the U.S. consulate staff would view Israelis as an ally. Nothing could be further from the truth. And there are a couple of examples of under-the-table American diplomatic steps this week that I think you should be made aware of. Starting, by the way, with that embassy staff who should all be fired. Fired for assault. Nonetheless.
I agree with you, Barry, and I can see how deeply you feel, and it's unconscionable, and I wish somebody, a justifiable thing would be for somebody to actually take them out and beat them up so they know what it's like, but I doubt very much that'll happen. Go right ahead.
No, they're protected. They won't even be shipped out. No, nothing like that will happen. It's just a very hateful consulate, an American consulate in Jerusalem that is displayed over and over, open hatred. This took place in downtown Jerusalem. That's the incident. If anyone cares to investigate and do something about it, but I doubt it. Now, there's another thing happened this week that has just drifted away, and well, the Arabs took this as very exciting news. It's all over their media. Israelis also have been a lot more disturbed about this, but a delegation, the Arabs called it a high-ranking U.S. delegation. I think it's a secret delegation that tried to look like a low-ranking one, but it doesn't matter. It arrived in the Gaza Strip via Egypt, because in Israel, they're not going to let, well, Israel can't let Americans into the Gaza Strip if it wanted to, because supposedly your government thinks the Hamas are a terror organization, and you're not allowed to talk with them. But the seven-member American delegation, now, you've never heard of this, and neither have I, but they were members of the National Institute for International Reconciliation. Nice-sounding name, a bunch of doo-doo what that name actually means, but nonetheless, they came through the Rafah or the Egyptian border, and they met with the leaders of Hamas. Now this, you're not allowed to do that. It's against your law. Hamas is still a terror organization. All seven of these people should go to court for meeting with a terror organization. Now they won't, of course, but they, by your law, if you ignore a thing like this, you don't have law. All right, that's simple. Seven Americans met with high-ranking officials of Hamas in the Gaza Strip 3 days ago. There, I just gave you, overall. I don't know if it's a scandal. I think there's that it's higher than this National Reconciliation Institute. I assume the American government gave them the go-ahead before they went into Gaza.
Well, I wouldn't be at all surprised, certainly going into the background of Hamas. It says there's a great deal of evidence that this was originally organized by the CIA, and certainly we carry a book that makes that allegation called The Devil's Game. I mean, creating these enemies, and certainly we know, we've talked a little earlier about how the American government had actually financed and trained militarily the force of the PLO, that's really Fatah, and they're going to go to war with Israel. Now, why would we have armed and trained those people who are going to now say they're going to attack Israel any more than why would we, simply go ahead and help some of these terrorist organizations, or as you point out now, suddenly send people in to talk to them? And so, anyway, I think you're absolutely right. I doubt anything will happen to these people. Go ahead.
Well, if I were going to the Gaza Strip and I was an American, which, by the way, is the equivalent of going, let's say, to Cuba. You've got to have diplomatic immunity or you will be arrested. And my suspicion is that they were given the go-ahead and promised security, shelter from any kind of prosecution, or they wouldn't be there. That's not a gut feeling. That's only common sense. America met with Hamas 2-3 days ago. They did it in a way that apparently, private individuals, what can we do? These private individuals are breaking the law, but we're not going to arrest them, and they're safe and secure. Some sort of mission to Hamas took place. The Arabs were extremely proud of it. It's all over their media, and I've so far not seen a word of it in the American media.
I'm not the least bit surprised. We certainly wouldn't want the American people ever to learn what's really going on behind the scenes, would we?
Well, just a minor incident, but just to let you know the flagrant violation of just good behavior. Rahm Emanuel went to Israel 2 days ago. I just got it. Two or three days ago, for his son's bar mitzvah.
I think for our listeners, Rahm Emanuel is the chief of staff for Barack Obama, so go right ahead.
Well, the scandal, and again, it's not a big thing, but it just shows the Israeli fear of Obama and the utter complete arrogance of this administration. Emmanuel lands in Israel. He's put on a plane with his son and his wife. They go to Eilat and have a very expensive meal, which the Israeli government paid for. Now, again, it was a private meal. It wasn't an official function. Well, a member of Knesset brought it up, that what on earth were we paying a private meal for this guy here for his son's bar mitzvah, not on an American government trip at all. It's just the kind of minor corruption that leads me to believe it will lead to much more major corruption. You pay for your own meal. It's that simple. That's the way it goes. when you don't pay for your meal and you let the Israeli government pay for your meal when you're not even here on an official function, I suspect, even though it's a very, very minor detail, that it will lead to very, very major corruption if you just keep following that path.
I'd sure like to know who paid for the plane trip over to Israel and then for the plane from Israel from, I assume, Jerusalem down into Eilat.
Tel Aviv to Eilat.
Right, okay.
I imagine it was the Israeli tourism ministry.
Was that nice of you?
Well, they paid for the meal, so I guess I can imagine them paying for at least the plane flight within Israel.
Well, we don't know, but it would be very interesting to know. So, but basically, go right ahead.
It's a minor thing, but I think it's worthy of knowing. All right. I mean, I cover a lot of minor things that there's a point to everything. Now, I'm going to do. I held off doing this. I've got a very, very major story in the offing, and it has everything to do with British Petroleum. Now, this is, well, I've got information. I just received it tonight, and I'm not going to do the whole story. I don't know the whole story yet.
Well, why don't you give as much as you can, because I think everybody's very concerned about the oil spill down there, and I don't think that British Petroleum is being at the least bit honest in the way they're handling this oil spill. I mean, certainly we've talked to people, at least to know people who know the oil business, and they say that this thing should have been taken care of a month ago. They know what to do. They just, for some reason, refuse to do it.
Well, there's a new chain restaurant of Louisiana seafood that's just started.
So what is this, the seafood they're going to be serving? Is it going to be BP oil?
No, it's called the Black Lobster.
Oh, the Black Lobster, okay.
Look,
that's a sick joke, but go ahead.
Well, why not? I think it's a very timely piece of a gallows humor.
Well, it is gallows humor. Go right ahead.
What you're dealing with in BP in America, in my opinion, is the lunatics running this country have created another Katrina where you get 70,000 blacks into a building and don't give them water for 4 days. It's an experiment. Look, this is, in my opinion, I have nothing to back it, that you're right. The world lunatics are going to turn the Gulf of Mexico into the swamp of Mexico with the gas, with the oil being carried by the Gulf Stream and choking off all of the eastern United States just to enjoy themselves.
Well, don't forget that they're using some sort of a detergent down there that is so toxic, you know, a detergent to liquefy the oil or whatever they're doing.
Turn it into little droplets that the fish will eat instead of chewing on the big droplets.
Well, apparently, though, this is so toxic, they can't use it over in the British Isles, but it's all right to use down in the Gulf of Mexico. And the EPA, they were upset about it. You've got to be pretty bad for them to get upset. But British Petroleum said they're going to go ahead and use it anyway. But it's too toxic to use in Great Britain. All right for British Petroleum to use in our Gulf. Go ahead.
Look, they've been lying from day one. They've been caught in the lies from day one. The whole thing is, I'm going to repeat this and then go to the information I have, because I'm now dealing with opinion, and when in fact I tend to deal with solid facts. But the key of the matter is that what was done in Louisiana in 2005, would literally that state became an experiment in human suffering. It looks like it's being expanded to take care of. If this thing keeps gushing, you're going to see this oil all along the eastern coast of the United States, and I have my suspicions that this is just some devilish experiment in massive human suffering. But let's let's deal with what I know.
All right, go ahead.
Now, I wrote a book of Save Israel a number of years ago where I wrote an article on why Syria wants the Golan Heights back so badly, and it's getting the backing of, well, all of the world really wanted Israel to give up the Golan Heights. Now, there's a secret in the Golan Heights, and it really, really should not be a secret. But the fact is, there's an oil pipeline that was built, I believe it was 1932. It ran from Iraq through Syria over the Golan Heights, and there was a refinery in Latakia, Syria, to turn the raw crude into useful gasoline and so forth. And this ran until the Six-Day War, when Israel cut off the Golan section of the pipeline.
Well, that's very interesting. I've never heard that before.
But now, really?
But basically, this goes over the Golan Heights. I'm not quite certain how this would go over the Golan Heights. And
how? That's the only route it could take.
Yeah, but the Syria is on the other side, not on
the other side of what?
The other side of Israel. So on the east side of Israel. We'll be back in just a minute, though.
It's on the north of Israel.
Go right ahead. Explain that, how this is going to go, from the Golan Heights, how is it going to get into Syria?
Just imagine a pipeline.
Heart disease is on the rise. Clogged arteries, high blood pressure, and high cholesterol levels may not be fully detected by you, but the symptoms are there. Loss of energy, blood sugar spikes and drops, poor circulation, and irregular heartbeat are just a few of these that can alert you that something is wrong. Hear how Heart and Body Extract is making a difference in thousands of people's lives across America.
My blood pressure has normalized. My diabetes has totally improved.
Everyone is telling me now how much healthier I look, and I'm telling everyone how much healthier I feel. I recommend Heart and Body Extract to everyone.
Anybody over 40 in the North American continent should be using this product as a preventative to keep their cardiovascular system healthy.
Order your 2-month supply today by calling 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. Or order online, hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract, 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com.
Well, I was horrified when I saw the plight of the people in Haiti after the earthquake, but a similar event could happen right here in the United States, and that's why you should call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and purchase a supply of his products. Freeze-drying is a great way to preserve food. I know because I bought a supply 40 years ago, and when I opened a can recently, the food was as fresh and tasty as when I purchased it. We're living in uncertain times, so if you'd like to have a supply of ground beef, diced beef, chicken, vegetables, or fruit on hand, call the freeze-dry guy at 866-404-FOOD, that's 866-404-FOOD, and mention you heard about him right here at Radio Liberty.
Where are my car keys? What did I come in this room for? Where did I put that?
A common condition called age-related memory loss is robbing millions of people of their ability to remember and think clearly. And Alzheimer's and Parkinson's are occurring at younger ages, even early 20s and 30s. And there's much evidence that brain inflammation may be the cause. Brain inflammation may also cause depression and insomnia. But there's great news. Studies show by taking special, powerful nutrients, brain inflammation and its damaging effects may be greatly reduced. And that's why neurosurgeon Dr. Russell Blaylock created his brain repair formula to reduce brain inflammation and maintain a healthy brain. So, for a free book on brain health or information on Dr. Blaylock's special brain repair formula, call 1-800-SPECIAL or visit 1-800-SPECIAL.com. 1-800-SPECIAL.
Yeah, we can figure it out, or it'll be in Barry's next material. But Barry's material is always very, very good. It's just you have to sometimes know the geography over there. what most of us are really not that well acquainted with it. But certainly listening to Barry, it certainly sounds like our fears are going to come to pass, and that is there going to be a major war, probably not only in the Near East, but in the Middle East as well. So all we can do is pray for these peace there, pray for certainly the people of Israel, but pray for the American boys who are over there in Iraq and Afghanistan, because I really believe that they're being set there, been left there, or to be slaughtered. And I hope and pray that I'm wrong, but so much of what's going on really doesn't make any sense, as we pointed out. We have almost 100,000 troops, almost 100,000 contractors in Afghanistan today, and we're fighting 100 members of Al-Qaeda. Why are we fighting in Afghanistan? Well, certainly, when the Taliban were there, why they actually stopped the opium trade. Now that the Americans are there, why we're guarding the opium fields and keeping them going, and we justify that by saying, well, we don't want to antagonize the farmers by destroying their crops. Well, the Taliban didn't worry about certainly discouraging or antagonizing the farmers who are growing the heroin that's corrupting the world. We have a war on drugs, and yet we have our troops over in Afghanistan guarding the opium fields. What's wrong with this picture? Nothing is, it appears to be, ladies and gentlemen. Reality is usually scoffed at, and illusion is usually king. To understand the drug war, let me suggest the books we carry. One of them is entitled Defrauding America. The other is called Drugging America. And then we have an excellent four-tape set. And, of course, it goes into the topic is there really a war on drugs? We recommend this. Is there really a war on drugs? You'll actually hear a DEA agent, a customs agent, people who knew that the government was involved in the in smuggling drugs, and of course why they they ended up going to prison. Why? Because they tried to tell the truth. We have an excellent four tape set. It's called Kiss the Boys Goodbye, and one of the interviews there is with Monica Jensen Stevenson, a former columnist for 60 Minutes, a producer for 60 Minutes, who writes a story about the boys we left in Vietnam after the Vietnam War. And part of that had to do with the CIA and their drug smuggling, and they would certainly open up the bellies of our boys and take out the entrails and pack their bellies with narcotics. A very convenient way of bringing them back into America. And who would ever expect anything could be that crass and indifferent to human suffering? And 58,000 men died in Vietnam, Americans, boys, brothers, fathers. They died there because the Gulf of Tonkin incident was a lie. We fought a no-win war. We never tried to win the war in Vietnam. We have a four-tape set on Vietnam, and one on the men we left behind, one on One Man Returned. It's a Vietnam special. We recommend it. We have the information you're not going to get elsewhere, ladies and gentlemen. And unless you understand Vietnam, you can't understand why we're going to war with Iran, why we're fighting in the Middle East today. You need to get information from Radio Liberty. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to hear my talk on Iraq, the untold story, and get the syllabus that goes with that. It's Iraq, the untold story, and the syllabus that goes with that. As we approach Memorial Day next Monday, remember all those boys who died in World War I to make the world safe for democracy, to fight the war to end all wars. They were betrayed by the same people who several generations later are telling us now why, of course, we're fighting in Afghanistan to bring democracy to Afghanistan. It's all a lie, ladies and gentlemen, because the same forces, the same spiritual forces are at work. Our number, 1-800-544-8927. Please pray for Radio Liberty.
You're tuned to the Global Star Radio Network. Thanks for listening.